Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase. I just figured out that Jordan thinks he could stop 16 shots if he was playing goaltender in the NHL.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin. I stand by that take. It depends on how many shots I get. I face, though. Like, if I face 16, I'd probably stop like six. If I face, like, 50, I'd probably stop 16.
That's the NBA logic, right? If I played a whole entire game in the NBA with, you know, LeBron James on my team, I'd score 4 points, right? Or six.
Yeah. That I forget what the fun NBA thought was. Like, would you be able to get a quadruple single? Would you be able to get like a basket, a rebound, an assist, and a steal or block?
I think I could do it. I think if you only have to be mildly athletic to be able to pull that off, just one of each.
The steal, I think you underestimate how short we would be.
That's
you'd
true.
Be shorter than everybody.
I saw there was a late night clip of, I think it was of Kobe Bryant on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and Kobe was tall, like, but he wasn't one of the taller players in the NBA, and he's like a giant. Like, he's so much bigger. And, you know, like, you've seen pictures of, like, even Steph Curry, who looks like one of the shortest players in the league on the floor when he's out there. And, like, you know, he's not like a monster or anything, but he's usually the tallest guy in the room. If he's
like
in
6'2", right?
Yeah, 6'3", might even be 6'3". I don't even know what he is. So, yeah, there's a little of that going on. And this is the Locked On Sabres podcast that was sparked, by the way, by a little mini conversation that we're kind of having on every single podcast, which is revolving around former Sabre Robin Lehner and his current very interesting postseason that he is having and that the Vegas Golden Knights are having. We'll talk a little bit about that at the start here, but a lot of prospect talk on today's episode. Good question that we had on Twitter last week on who is the most important prospect in the Sabres system. We'll talk a little bit about the pool that could be part of the future for the Sabres in the next coming years. And we'll continue on with our Sabres 50 list, the 50 greatest individuals in team history. We're up to number 14. Jordan's on or is on deck for that a little bit later in today's show. Lehner and the Vegas Golden Knights, though, was back to Marc-Andre Fleury in game one against the Dallas Stars. They lost that game 1-0. Robin Lehner came in, had a 24 save shutout against the Golden Knights in game two. Lehner now has a shutout in three of his last five games. Four of his last seven games, I think. And he is still the Conn Smythe favorite, but Vegas continues to turn to Fleury once in a while here through the postseason. I could not believe he got game one. There's a lot to talk about here with Lehner. You could throw in all the social media stuff. Did you see Lehner like going after Mike Harrington, who... I mean, I couldn't believe that Harrington responded. Oh, I guess I what am I kidding? Of course I could believe that he responded to a pretty disgusting comment that somebody had about Lehner. And then also now there's talk, Nick Kiprios is reporting this, that Lehner and the Golden Knights are getting closer or have mutual interest in a long-term extension. And the number that was thrown out there was a five-year deal worth $5 million per year. So we'll see if that comes to fruition as well. But how have you taken in – I think we all know my opinion. Like, I am heavy on Robin Lehner should be starting every game for Vegas. He's been arguably the best goaltender in the postseason. I know he's not facing a lot of shots, but he's putting up shutouts. Like, that's really what you should want. Like, if you're not facing shots, that's one thing, but it's not like he's giving any up. So where are you on the rest of the playoffs for Lehner and really Vegas and whether they should sign him long term?
I think Vegas should want to re-sign him, and I think that he should be the 1A. I mean, he is playing better than Fleury. I'll say that, but good news for Vegas is Fleury's also not playing that bad.
Yep.
You know, they're just kind of – they look like an elite team. You know, Dallas kind of stole the first game, in my opinion. I think that, you know, it was a 1-0 game. And, you know, Vegas just, you know, couldn't find the back of the net. in Fleury's game one loss, and Leonard, you know, gets the shutout, and Vegas, you know, puts a few past Dallas goalies, and you know, they get the win. I think it's gonna be a long series. I think at least six. But Vegas looks like the better team through two. And you would think that usually when that happens, the ice tends to tilt towards the better team, and you know it works in Vegas's favor. So I would go with Leonard. I think they should want to re-sign him. If I were Leonard, though, I'd test free agency again. You know, I think that you should want to test the market because now he has 2 years under his belt where he's been very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right now Leonard's save percentage for the playoffs is at 920. Fleury's is at 910. So like you said, Fleury has not been that bad. That's one extra goal for every 100 shots let in is what that equates to for save percentage. And that might not sound like a lot, but 100 shots, I mean, Vegas maybe gives that up, what, in four games? I guess one goal difference in four games in a series like this, like that could make all the difference. So again, like it's marginal, the difference that they're both at right now. But Leonard, I mean, I don't know. I just think he's been playing phenomenal. And he's done it here on a better sample size. Fleury could come out, have one bad game, and that save percentage is shot. His save percentage is only two starts. Whereas Leonard is, I mean, what is he up to, 15 or something at this point? So that contract, though, that I threw out there that Kiprios reported, 5 years, $5 million per. If you were the Sabres, and again, I know Leonard almost for sure would never come back here, and I'm not sure the Sabres would even have interest. I'm pretty sure. But if he hit the market, and I could tell you that the Sabres could get him 5 years, $5 million per year, would you want to do that?
5 years, $5 million?
Per year, yep.
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. I'd love the story. I mean, you know, what a redemption story that would be. Kind of a prodigal son situation, you know. Kind of how the Sabres fans, you know, really were mad at him. And, you know, obviously his own personal troubles and, you know, or exercising those demons. You know, I'd pull for it. I'd love to have him back, especially now that, you know, he's in better shape and he's playing so well. It's kind of one of the main missing pieces for the Sabres. We'll talk more about the prospect thing that we were talking about. Because goalie is a big issue for the Sabres right now. I'd love to have him back. I think that's a pretty good deal. Obviously, he wants his term. You know, that's going to be the big thing, I think, for Leonard. He's tired of doing the one-year prove-it deals. So you're going to have to give away that term for him. Yeah.
It's good for him that he would be getting a long-term deal. Also on a really good team. To be able to sign up for the next 5 years playing on a team that looks like they're going to have a lot of sustained success here in the Golden Knights. Like that's a pretty good spot to be in. Like Leonard went to the Islanders, and there's always something about the Islanders. It still seemed a little fluky, although I guess they got smoked by Tampa in game one, 8-2, but they've had a solid postseason here. And when he went to Chicago, like if Chicago had signed him long-term, like, you know, it's good to have the long deal, but I don't think Chicago is going to be winning anything anytime soon. Leonard could really reach some stardom in Vegas, especially for a team that doesn't really have a superstar on it. Like Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, William Karlsson, Shea Theodore. These are all very good players, but these are not guys that are like superstars and household names for really casual hockey fans. So Leonard has like a potential to be a star player in the next couple of years, and a big name that develops in the sport. So there's that. The other thing on this, two-part question, I guess, you said you would do it 5 years, $5 million per, if the Sabres somehow got the opportunity to sign Leonard. If he does sign that contract, like it sounds like he's going to, Marc-Andre Fleury suddenly becomes available at age 36 with 2 years left on his deal at $7 million per year. And if I threw that same question at you, I'm guessing the answer is going to be no. That would be my answer. But I'm wondering, like, is there if you were the GM for the Sabres and you could get him with Vegas retaining some amount of money, one, would you even be interested in it? And two, like, how much money would Vegas retain before you would say, okay, I'll do it?
I think they would need to retain most of it. Like I would only want to be paying Fleury like $2 million a year.
I think I'm in the same camp, and like that's someone else is gonna probably pay too much, I think, or take on too much of it.
Yeah, I honestly don't really have much interest in a 36-year-old goalie. Fleury's only gonna get worse from here. Like I don't think there's not many goalies that past 36 that they like find a rejuvenation. I really don't have any interest. I think you'd have much better chance with just, you know, testing free agency. Isn't Khudobin a free agent?
He is, I believe.
He's like older too. That's just a better option.
Yeah, he's older too, but he also would cost a lot less. And I think I could argue he's even better. 34 years old, he's a UFA. So 2 years younger too. Kazakhstan. He's from Kazakhstan.
If he is.
Yeah. Does that make you want him more?
No, I knew he was. I said he is with a period.
Ah, yes. all right. But to our prospects conversation, which kind of, you know, is on this subject in net. I mean, we'll spend a lot of time, not all of it, talking about goaltender. But we put up a poll on at Locked On Sabres a couple of weeks ago asking fans who they if you could pick one prospect in the Sabres system to hit, like to reach his full potential, who would you pick? And it was basically a two-horse race between Dylan Cousins, their eighth overall pick from this past draft in 2019, who has developed into a really nice center. Then you've also got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who was up there, the second-round pick from a couple years ago, the Sabres' top goalie prospect, and who many consider, and some even consider to be the best, but many consider to be one of the best goalie prospects in the world today. You've got guys that are a little bit out of that conversation in the framework of this question, like Ryan Johnson, the defenseman that they picked in the first round in this past draft. You've got Matej Pekar, who's becoming a really nice prospect in the Sabres system, who is a centerman as well. You could throw Casey Mittelstadt and Tage Thompson into this conversation as well, but it feels like their ceilings are lower now that we have seen them just a little bit in the NHL than a Cousins or a Luukkonen might have, because there's still that unknown there. So if I threw that question to you, you get to magically hit a button and one Sabre prospect reaches his maximum potential. Which one are you picking?
So I really thought about this, and I thought Luukkonen would be my answer, but I think you got to go with Cousins. I think that second line center need is so critical for this team, and it would boost so many more players. If Luukkonen reaches his full potential, you know, the Sabres will have a very strong goaltending, and that's big, but that kind of gets us to where we were in 2010. And, you know, that's not necessarily enough. Whereas I think if you get Cousins to reach his fullest potential, that'll improve Skinner's game. They'll probably improve Dominic Hoon's game. It would improve more players. You would probably have like a three-player boost instead of a one-player boost. And I think that's why I would go with Cousins more. I think he impacts the rest of the team more.
I would pick Cousins as well. I'm seeing some prospect guys on Twitter. Corey Pronman was one on Twitter on Wednesday, or on his website on Wednesday. There was another guy that is escaping me right now that was comparing him and his career arc, his development arc, to Braden Point of the Lightning, who is maybe, if Leonard's not going to win the Conn Smythe, like, Braden Point's as good a bet as you're going to get, because he's been Tampa's best player. Tampa missed Kucherov for a little bit with injury. They've been missing Stamkos, and Point had like any thought that he was just a product of those other two on his line. Like if you're watching the Lightning, that guy flies up and down the ice with the puck. He generates scoring chances. He generates, you know, just offensive zone time. And Cousins, watching some of what he does on the ice in juniors, that is kind of how he plays. He's a guy who generates play. And the Sabres have offensive players that are very good, like Sam Reinhart and Jeff Skinner and Victor Olofsson. But those are not guys that generate play like Eichel does, for instance, or even like Marcus Johansson does it a little to a lesser extent. And if they could add another really good play generator, offensive zone time generator like Dylan Cousins, if you were to hit, that's where I'd pick as well. And the other thing is, look at the replaceability. Look at the above replacement of what this would mean. Let's start with Lukanen. If Lukanen hits, and he might be one of the best goalies in the league, his max potential. I think he probably is. Like, his ceiling at this moment is probably a top five goaltender in the NHL. But at the end of the day, Linus Ullmark is, to me, an average starter in the NHL. And I'd be going from an average starting goaltender to one of the best in hockey. And I do think that that's a very significant thing to have for your team. And that's why this is a debate. And that's why they weren't separated by a whole lot of votes in our poll. But I think the difference between that and the difference between Cousins, who his max potential might also be like top 20 centermen in hockey, and what they currently have, which is a 40-point winger playing down the middle as your second-line center, playing out of position, that is a massive, massive upgrade that you also – it's harder to find. Like, goaltenders – and we've both made this point. You could find goalies anywhere. Ullmark, for instance, was a sixth-round pick. You could just pluck them anywhere. Ryan Miller was a fifth-round pick. There are so many examples of where you can find goaltenders. And center – I mean, we've been chasing a center for how long? And the only center the Sabres have really hit on is a guy you had to throw a season away for. Otherwise, all that time that Derek Roy and Tim Connolly were here, and we were like, oh, we need number one center. We need number one center. They never really found it. And they got really lucky in that, really, it's funny, the only two great centers the Sabres have had, and maybe the last 20, since Danny Briere and Chris Drury left, they acquired on the same day. They got lucky that Colorado had a surplus at that position and that O'Reilly had a contract dispute with the Avalanche, and they were able to get him for four pieces. And then they had got Eichel in the draft on that same day. Since then, how's it gone trying to replace Ryan O'Reilly? How's it gone? Because it doesn't feel like that position. I don't have any confidence they're going to be able to fix second-line center other than Dylan Cousins basically hitting his full potential.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'll say that, I mean, they just, obviously, Botterill really botched the O'Reilly trade. They probably should have gotten a center prospect in return.
Sure.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, it's been a disaster since we traded him, for sure. Like, there's no doubt about it. They traded one of the best centers in the league for a bunch of, you know, things that we didn't really need or like didn't really benefit us all that
a bunch much. Of lottery tickets really is what it's
yeah become. I mean of yeah. course the Blues naturally
well not even a bunch
last we did have the potential to have a top five pick in January of 2019, and then the Blues decided to win every game for the rest of the season.
Yes.
What a turnaround that was.
Dang you, Jordan Binnington.
Right, exactly. Like, they got hot at the right time, and it went from 1 to 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other prospects we should maybe mention here that are a little bit lower down the list that I don't think either of us would pick, but we could just mention him here. Ryan Johnson. I threw him in that poll, by the way, because I don't know. Feels like he's probably the best defensive prospect in the organization. He did not have a good year of development. He did not make the U.S. World Junior team. He had a pretty tough year in college for Minnesota. But
was he a freshman, though?
He was a freshman, and he's he's undersized. So it's because of his style. I mean, he's a small, fast, puck-moving defenseman. And I can see why, you know, if his body hasn't developed, you know, like Matias Samuelsson, for instance, is a different story. Like, that was a Sabre draft pick from a couple of years ago. When they picked him, he was like a big physical defenseman. So he showed up in college and he played pretty well. Now, I don't expect him to be much in the NHL because his ceiling isn't that high for what type of player he is. So that's why Johnson, I would maybe give a bit of a break because of the type of player that he is. But I threw him in there in the poll. He only got 2.5% of the vote. By the way, that vote, Cousins came out on top, 52.9%, Lukanen at 42.6%, Ryan Johnson at 2.2%, other was at 2.3%, and basically everyone writing an other said Casey Mittelstadt. And I didn't put him on there because I still don't really know whether he is still technically a prospect or not. I guess he is. He did spend more time in the AHL last year than the NHL. But I don't know. Mittelstadt was never going to be my pick just because his a year and a half, 2 years ago. I mean, we have spoken about him extensively. We would take Would you not take Mittelstadt becoming like a middle six winger who gives you 45 points at this stage? Because I think I would sign on the dotted line for that. I'm almost given up almost completely on him being any type of answer at second line center.
Yeah, there's not much there. I take just NHL caliber, honestly. He just becomes a staple player in our, because that's honestly something that we need, you know? Like, we could use more 45, 50-point players. Mm-hmm. It's kind of disappointing considering where he was. I remember that World Juniors. I think that was the highest moment, because I think you went to that ice game too, the outdoor game. Like, Mittelstadt was awesome in that tournament. I thought the Sabres were, like, on the verge of something fantastic. And then since then, he just, I don't know what it is. I've heard kind of some rumors, you know, and stuff like that, but nothing to really, you know, I don't think anything to talk about necessarily on here.
Nothing worth mentioning yet. I remember that World Junior tournament. Not only was I there for the outdoor game, but I was in the building for USA versus Slovakia, which I think was the night before. And the U.S. was down 2-1 with like 4 minutes left. And do you remember the highlight reel goal that he scored where he toe dragged around the Slovakian defenseman? He cut back to the left in front of the goalie while the goalie tripped him up, like Bobby Orr style, through the air, put the puck in the net to tie it. Like, it's still the best goal I've ever seen him score. And that was like the high moment. Like, at that moment, I was like, right, this guy's going to be so good. And then he just hasn't done much of anything.
No, I mean, luckily for him, I mean, there is still time. You know, what is he, 22?
22, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, some guys, you know, take a little bit longer. You know, he still has all the potential. But still, the ball is still in his court.
21, by the way, but yeah.
21, yeah, even younger. So, like, you know, he has tons of potential still. He's just got to, you know, figure things out and get everything going in the right direction. I'm hoping that he does, because we can really use him.
Yeah. Other guys to mention here, Tage Thompson. What would you take for him right now? Would you take a 20-goal scorer?
Yeah.
If he could be Lesh Kotelik, might even be too good for this.
If he could be like Jochen Hesch, like, and I know that there are different types of players, but like that's what we're looking for here. Like, we need more of those. We need over-reliable players.
Like, it didn't that put that on Jordan Hanskin's tombstone. We need more Jochen Hesches.
Sabres don't have that. We have like players that you don't see. You're like, oh yeah, that guy's still on the team. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, what's he up to? Like, we have so many of those players. When we need more guys from like 2006, 2007, where they just, you know, get it done a little bit every night. Like, do something pretty good every night. They're not asking a lot out of them. We have the stars. We just need to fill in the rest.
Yep. I would take a 20-goal, 40-point guy from Thompson for sure at this point. Same thing with you. Like, just middle six, give me a guy that can play a role, and I'm good. And then Matej Pekar, I want to mention here too, because I don't know what his ceiling is, because he's a fourth-round pick, so I don't want to consider him to have the hot, like, going to be like a star player. But I just, every time I watch him, I think Brad Marchand. And maybe I'm getting too swept up in the...
that's a high praise.
I know. Maybe I'm getting too swept up in the, he's just out there to annoy you. And like, there was a prospects camp last year that I was in attendance for. And I'm telling you, Makar, his sole reason on the ice was to fluster Casey Mittelstadt. Like, he was the captain of his team. Mittelstadt was the captain of his prospect team. And Picard's whole game was just dedicated to making Mittelstadt's life hell. And Mittelstadt almost fought him at one point because he was getting so frustrated. And on top of that, so he's got that element. He's got that Marchand element of wanting, just pissing you off. But then there's some offensive talent there too. I don't know. That's the question. Is he going to be a fourth liner that's going to go out there and he's going to play tough minutes? He's going to forecheck hard and he's going to make you angry? Or is he going to do all of that and then give you 40 points on top of it? Or maybe even something better. I don't know what his ceiling is. I want to throw his name into this mix, though, because that's the type of player the Sabres don't have right now.
So he's like a half Marchand. He has the pass.
But here, He does.
Doesn't have the 100-point player attributes.
Well, I don't know that, though, because even Marshawn, how long until you would have thought he had that potential? Because Marshawn himself was a third-round pick, and Marshawn's first couple years in the league, like, he didn't hit his offensive stride until 28, which is strange.
He was just the past for the first
but he was years. At the same time, he was good, even though he wasn't a 100-point player.
He
started his career with a 41-point season, then 55, then 36, then 53, then 42. So, like, he was a good second liner, and then it started to shoot up. 61, 85, 85, 100, and then this year he was on pace for 100 again.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think Picard has that in him, but, like, give me a young Brad Marchand, and I think that that's not completely crazy. It might be unrealistic, or it might be improbable, but it's not crazy. I just want to
be my favorite player on the team if he becomes young Brad Marchand.
He absolutely, I think, if he becomes if he hits his stride in the NHL because of what his game is, he'll be a fan favorite. No doubt.
For sure.
So I don't want to get people too excited for a guy who's only played in the OHL and is a fourth round pick, because how many times have we done that? Nick Baptiste, Justin Bailey. Like, there are countless examples.
But there's also Victor Olofsson, who was even later in the draft that turned into something pretty good.
Thank you for mentioning him, because that deserves to be mentioned. So we'll see on Picard. Just a name to keep an eye on. All right, we'll come back with a continuation of our Sabres 50 list. We're up to number 14. Jordan is on the clock, and we'll do that in just 1 second. But first, a quick minute for Built Bar. Built Bar is back, and they've added 6 new flavors: apple almond crisp, carrot cake, lemon almond cheesecake, cherry barcia, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, all fantastic, in addition to your 12 original flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, peanut butter brownie, all bars covered in 100% chocolate. They're healthy as well. Great for the healthy conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diets. Right now, free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe WGR on Twitter. Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin, back here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. We're rolling along on our Sabres 50 list. We are through 13 names. This should get us through the start of the Sabres season. We'll see when that ends up being. But so far, we've got Dominic Hasek at number 1, Gilbert Perreault number 2, Lindy Ruff number 3, Rick Jeanneret number 4, the Knoxes at number 5, Rob Ray number 6, Rick Martin number 7, at number 8, Ryan Miller, number 9, Danny Gare, number 10, Rene Robert, number 11, way down at 11, Pat LaFontaine, the snub of the list so far. Number 12, Dave Andrechuk. Number 13, Alex McGillney. Jordan, you're on the clock for number 14. Who's the 14th greatest Sabre in history?
I went with Phil Housley. I think the defense has been pretty lacking on this list thus far, and I think
the first one, really.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, he's one of the best offensive defensemen probably in NHL history. You know, he's not Bobby Orr, but he's pretty darn good. And I think that he's well-deserving to be the first Sabres defenseman taken.
Maybe I shouldn't say first. He's the first guy to make it on the merits of being a defenseman. Lindy Ruff did play on the blue line, but Ruff also, but remember, he also split time playing it forward. So he was only a half defenseman really as a player, and then why is he number 3? He's number 3 more so for the coaching. So Housley, he's the best defenseman in Sabre history at this point. I think the hope is Rasmus Dahlin will pass him one day. But yeah, like you mentioned it, all-time, he's 4th all-time in defenseman points. Like, only Al MacInnis, Paul Coffey, and Ray Bourque outrank him. So, like, that is, like, to have a player of that magnitude in your organization, it's weird though that he's not really beloved. Like, he's not, and it's not even just the coaching stint. Like, we all were so, I think, tired and fed up of him as the coach. Maybe you'll speak on that too. I'm sure you agree with that, but maybe not.
It was tough.
It was tough. But even like when they hired him, like, you had that old fan crowd that was like, oh, Housley, like, just what we need. Like, he's just, we're soft as it is. Like, Housley seems to me that people didn't like him because in the immediately a fan favorite. He didn't have that element of physicality to his game. And I think fans, you know, gave him crap for that. So I agree, he should be this high. But if we were just making a list of the most beloved Sabres, he might not even make the list.
Right, right. I think that's just Buffalo, right? Like, it's all about grit. It's all about toughness. If you score, I mean, Phil Housley scored 31 goals in 1983-84 season as a defenseman. That's insanity. 31?
At age 19, by the way.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that Sabres fans, you know, hold against a lot of players. How often do we hear, you know, Vanek's, you know, I don't like Vanek, or I don't like this guy. It's this vision of toughness. Whereas I think Phil Housley was awesome at what he did. And that I think he should be honored for that. You know, he's an awesome offensive defenseman.
Would you have had
Rasmus Dahlin to be, really. Like, we want him to be this amazing offensive defenseman. Looks like he has all the tools for it. I hope that the Sabres fans treat Dahlin better. I don't know what I actually am interested to know what the fan base thinks of Dahlin right now. I think we're a little bit better about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, by the way. Like, would you have had him higher if it wasn't for the coaching stint?
I don't know. Sabres have a pretty strong forward history. Like, I think all the guys ahead of him probably merited it. Like, I mean, the guys just in front of him are Andrzejczuk and McGillney. That's pretty good company to be in. I don't know. I think Stint didn't sway me too much. You know, he's just not that good of a coach. This is something that hurt him just a little bit.
Yes. All right. Phil Housley, we have a defenseman on the board, like a true defenseman. Like, that's why he's here. He makes the list at number 14. I don't know when the next defenseman might come, but maybe soon. We'll see. We're up to number 14. We'll do number 15 on our next episode. We'll continue to talk some playoffs, and we'll start to get more into the Sabres offseason and what's to come. The draft moved a little bit later, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about the draft sometime upcoming as well. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast with Jordan Hanskin and Joe DiBiase, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.